fair warning that this may be tough to swallow. If upstate New York was a state, our job growth would rank fourth worst in the nation below Mississippi. It's just one statistic in an eye-opening multi-part investigation told by journalists Jim Heaney and Charlotte Keith, among others, of Investigative Post, along with reporting partners ProPublica and the Columbia University Graduate School of Journalism. Investigative Post and their partners have taken a deep dive into the state's economic development efforts and weighed state taxpayer investments against the rate of return. The series is called State of Subsidies, and joining us with more is Investigative Post founder, editor, and executive director Jim Heaney. Jim, welcome back.
Nice to be back.
Why did you decide to tackle this issue?
Well, I've been covering economic development issues in New York State on and off for 15, 20 years, and it always struck me that there was no place to go to get data to be able to assess just what we're getting for our money. And so I approached ProPublica and Columbia about a year and a half ago with this proposal to let's go out, let's file a Freedom of Information request with the state and IDAs, and let's build this monster database that would allow us to look in one central place, in one central format, look at these deals and see what they tell us. So it was really an effort to do what the state, in my estimation, ought to be doing all along, which is centralize the data, make it transparent, and let people see how their money is being spent.
How did the state cooperate with you? Did you get their cooperation or not?
We got their cooperation with the data collection part of it. Once we started doing the reporting, it became kind of business as usual. I know with the story that Charlotte and I did, stories that ran Sunday and Monday, we could not get Jason Conwell to agree to make anybody available for interviews.
And, Jason and is the spokesperson for Empire State Development.
He's their front. We wanted Howard Zemsky or another senior person, and just never got any kind of response. And I know the other reporters, other reporters had difficulty. One of them early on got some cooperation. But it's Susan, you and I have talked about this time and time again. It's very difficult to get the state government to talk about the people's business. And this, unfortunately, is another instance of that.
Well, let's talk about the key findings of from State of Subsidies, which people can read, by the way, at investigativepost.org or in some local papers like the Times Union.
Yeah, well, we're spread out over 5 days. I want to talk about the first couple of days, mm-hmm. Which really took a look at first spendings. The state last fiscal year spent the state and local government, particularly through IDA, spent $8.6 billion either in cash outlays or tax abatements or power discounts, or one way or the other, the cost of the public treasury was $8.6 billion. A lot of money. It's up a little bit under Cuomo, and Cuomo in the proposed budget has proposed another substantial increase.
With the Buffalo Billion, too, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, there's Bronx, there's all sorts of additional goodies that are put in there. So basically, point one, states handing out a lot of subsidies, and it's growing. Point two, what are we getting for that money? You know, Cuomo's been quoted as saying that upstate economy is job one, that under his leadership, the state has invested some $25 billion in subsidies. All right, so let's look at upstate. Well, first let's look at New York, because New York as a whole isn't doing too bad. We looked, the Fiscal Policy Institute developed data for us. They're economists there. We looked at the six Cuomo years through December of last year. National job growth, 11% during that period, almost 2% a year. The state, 9.6%. We're close. But then you start digging in. New York City, up 16%. The rest of downstate, about 7.5%. Upstate, 2.7% over 6 years.
So it's up, but it's up at a much lower rate than the rest of the state and the nation.
One quarter of the national rate. Okay. And I think one of the things that is really noteworthy is the governor has been going around for years now proclaiming that everything's hunky-dory upstate. That and the story has some quotes from him from his recent State of the State address, where it's not just the city that's doing well. Everybody across New York State is doing well. Well, we looked at the 12 largest metropolitan areas in upstate New York. Four of them, including Binghamton, have actually lost jobs since Cuomo took office. So this notion that upstate is booming, Buffalo is booming, well, when you compare it, when you start to compare it with the rest of the world, we're not booming. Another thing that was interesting was we looked at the jobs, the quality of the jobs being created, and again, upstate. When you factor out the jobs that have been lost, and there's been statewide, there's been almost 100,000 government jobs, good-paying government jobs eliminated. Now, you can argue whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, but they're jobs that are no good-paying jobs that are no longer there. When you look at net job growth, 88% of the net jobs added in upstate New York were in the low wage sectors. The biggest industry, or the industry to register the largest job growth in upstate New York, is restaurants and bars.
And what we're looking for are digital service jobs.
Well, we're looking for something that doesn't, you know, that doesn't require a tip to get by. I guess is what I'm saying. You know, sales clerks in retail outlets was also high up there. So, you know, we're not growing very fast, and the jobs we're adding for the most part, you know, ain't nothing to write home about. Let's put it that way.
Could an argument be made, Jim, that without the state investment, things would be even worse?
That's possible, I suppose. But there's also an argument that might be made that what if there was smarter use? Because if there was smarter use of those subsidies, or whether some of those subsidies weren't there at all, and instead they were given back to taxpayers, businesses, residents, in the form of tax relief, that might make this place a more appealable location to live in. You know, another thing we found going back to spending is New York State, more than any state in the country, likes to do what Good Jobs First, this nonprofit research group nationally, calls mega deals. You know, huge subsidy projects. New York State does more of them than anybody in the country. It's Global Foundries in Albany, it's Solar City in Buffalo. It's the pyramid, the shopping mall in Syracuse that got, I don't know, $500 or $600 million in subsidies. We tend, and Cuomo has accelerated that. You know, you got to look at Cuomo policy because he changed things a lot. And I, for one, when he started, I thought, well, good, because the old state policy isn't working very good. You know, you give subsidies out to individual companies and you hope something good happens. So Cuomo changed everything up. More mega projects, Solar City, Photonics, and all are in Rochester, Utica, Dunkirk, I mean, all up and down the thruway.
But in 20 seconds, has it been worth the investment?
Well, one, most of these projects are stalled. And two, the architect of the whole thing is under federal indictment.
What we're going to do, Jim, is put a hold on it there. And we're going to be joined in a moment by two people from different ends of the policy spectrum. Jim Heaney is the founder, editor, and executive director of Investigative Post. And you can read the story that he and Charlotte Keith wrote with reporting partners ProPublica and the Columbia Graduate School of Journalism in a variety of papers and online at investigativepost.org. We'll be right back.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
In part two of the series State of Subsidies, reporters Charlotte Keith and Masako Melissa Hirsch look at how one company, Corning, in the Southern Tier, has not only utilized state subsidies, but has been able to guide the state's economic development policies by having executives sit on the local industrial development agency and co-chair the Southern Tier Regional Economic Development Council. State of Subsidies is a series by reporting partners Investigative Post, ProPublica, and the Columbia Graduate School of Journalism. Joining us to continue our conversation with Investigative Post editor Jim Heaney are two guests from different ends of the policy spectrum. From the left, we welcome Ron Deutsch, Executive Director of the Fiscal Policy Institute, and from the right, we welcome E.J. McMahon, Executive Director and Research Director at the Empire Center for Public Policy. I want to welcome all of you to the Capitol Press Room. It's good to see you. Jim, why don't we just begin with whether or not all of this is Governor Andrew Cuomo's fault, because it's not.
Yeah, it's not, and I think that point needs to be made. I mean, you can fault the governor for faulty policy. You can fault him for the kind of chest beating he's done, claiming victory when there is none to be claimed. But the fact is that upstate New York is a very difficult place to do business. It's losing population. Its base of its manufacturing base, which was kind of the foundation for a long time, isn't what it used to be, and now he compounded a little bit because of state policy. There's 100,000 fewer government employees, and I mentioned that earlier, and the loss of good paying jobs. But there's only so much a governor or government in general can do about the economy. It's ultimately driven by the market, and the market continues to not be kind to upstate New York.
So quickly, why don't you tell us the story of Corning? I mean, really briefly.
Well, we wanted to give an example of how companies play the game, basically. And Corning, one of only two Fortune 500 companies located upstate, has kind of mastered that game. They like other companies, they use multiple programs. They come back year after year. They've gotten over $100 million over the last decade. And they've gone the step extra, as you mentioned. They've got a seat on IDA. They've got a co-chair of the Regional Economic Development Council. And they've really leveraged their dominant. I don't know if there's a in America that is where one company is so dominant. I mean, Corning's a small city, and it's got a big company there. And in a lot of ways, they've been good to the town.
They've been a good community corporate.
Yeah, I mean, they're good corporate
partner,
citizens. Right. Mm-hmm. I think there's no denying that. But on the other hand, they haven't been shy about taking advantage of the leverage that comes with being the huge company in a small city.
So let me hold it there for a second. I think that a key question here that I'd like to pose to EJ and Ron is this. Why is New York in a position to have to provide these subsidies? And we'll begin with EJ.
Well, I don't think it's in a position where it has to provide these subsidies. I think it's in a position where I do think that the worse the state's business climate becomes for different reasons, the more it is offered as a justification. I don't think it's any coincidence that we're so extreme on this scale. Although it may not, the long-term situation with upstate New York cannot be pinned to any particular governor. I do think the governor can be held responsible at this point, 6 years into his tenure, for actually doing things that in the long run can make upstate worse. He has not done workers' comp reform. We have the third highest workers' comp rates in the country. He not only blocked natural shale gas production, he blocked the construction of a pipeline that his own Regional Economic Development Council had recommended funding feeder lines to in the Southern Tier, which is desperate for more, it's held back by energy costs and desperate for natural gas. So when you do things like that, then you have more of an excuse. Then businesses have more of an excuse to say, it's so terrible here, you've got to hand us money, which I don't excuse either. I think it's a scam, and I wouldn't defend any of this stuff.
I guess the question, Ron, why is it that the state always seems to be in a position of being a supplicant to these businesses? Why wouldn't businesses want to come here.
Right. So I think, you know, what we've been looking at over the last few decades is the very definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. We keep doing designated tax-free zone programs. We keep offering subsidies and tax abatements in the quest for jobs in upstate New York and all around New York. And it's just not a sensible approach to, you know, job creation, in our opinion. I think there are a lot of other things we could be doing to make our upstate communities more attractive to businesses. And rather than investing, you know, close to $9 billion a year in these economic development programs, we should be putting that money into infrastructure, you know, fixing our roads, our bridges, our
fracking or giving the okay.
I'm not a fan of fracking myself.
So this is where you diverge, the two of you.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're working from the same playbook on a lot of this in terms of our opposition to a lot of these subsidy programs. We don't agree with them, but, you know, I don't know that fracking would have been necessarily the answer to upstate's economic woes, as I don't think casinos are either. So
EJ, to what extent do government policies affect how well upstate New York is doing business-wise?
To a great extent, but it's not the be-all and end-all. I think one of the problems with Governor Cuomo's policy, there's a slide, a remarkable slide from his 2014 budget presentation that shows these cogs as in the inside of a machine that literally portrays state government as the central cog in everything. State government is the central determining factor in everything, in his view, which happens to be conveniently self-aggrandizing since he's in charge of the state government.
I wasn't going to say anything, but you said it.
I think that's a flawed view. By the way, I have good news. Everything we're talking about is unconstitutional under the state constitution by the letter of the law.
What? Spell that out for us.
Section Article 7, Section 8.1 of the state constitution prohibits the gift and loan of state funds, any private undertaking or corporation. It couldn't be clear.
Hasn't that been litigated?
Well, that's my point. Here's my point. Okay, but it's not like this wasn't foreseen and hadn't been proliferating in the distant past. Just because there was people ought to read the Bordello case. The dissents in that case, especially Piggott, say that just because something has been excused again and again doesn't make it right. This is wrong. It shouldn't be happening.
Do you agree?
In other words, because these discussions often, I know we're not going to get to this, or talk about, get bogged down in discussions of transparency and accountability. We shouldn't be doing any of this. Any of it. And I agree with Ron. The money should be in, stick to your knitting. Do the basic infrastructure and the things that state government exists to do. That's instead of handing it out to private corporations.
Would you say one of the reasons why transparency hasn't been at the top of this administration's priority list is because they don't want to show how anemic the job growth has been?
I think it's that, and I think that they don't want to necessarily see how effective these programs are or are not. You know, I think we've been pushing, groups like the Citizens Budget Commission, Reinvent Albany, and others have been pushing for this database of deals, which would kind of outline business subsidies by corporation. What are they getting? What are their job creation promises? Did they deliver on those promises? We need to know if we're getting a good return on our investment. I'm not saying that every single one of these programs is useless, but I don't think we really have a good grasp of how effective they are. And it apparently, based on job growth numbers and the amount of money we're spending in the name of job creation, they're not very effective. So I think, you know, the Assembly and their One House budget put the database of deals in there. The Senate had a big reference to it. You know, my hope is that we will get some sort of mechanism that we can be starting to look at and gauge the effectiveness of these programs. And until we do that, I think we're just throwing money out the window.
So, Jim, the budget is being negotiated as we speak. And this executive budget calls for another $1.5 billion in this very kind of investment. Are you saying by this investigation that the legislature should not agree to the investment?
I don't have a position one way or the other. I think that Ron just noted that there is a push on by folks like his organization, Reinvent Albany, and some other to interject some transparency into subsidies to build some anti-corruption stuff
steps in the awarding of state development contracts. And I think if the legislature and the governor are ever going to do anything about the problems that were exposed through the Caleros indictments, I think now is the time to do it. And if they're not going to do it now, it's almost an endorsement of business as usual.
I want to thank both E.J. McMahon and the Empire Center, as well as Ron Deutsch of the Fiscal Policy Institute. We're discussing state of subsidies with the Investigative Post, Jim Heaney. Jim, to what extent does the governor's approach allow him to sort of select companies to function in a tax-free environment, and why is that an issue?
It's notable that it's central to his economic development policy. When you look at the Buffalo Billion and Solar City and bringing Albany Molecular Research and IBM to Buffalo, the strategy is remarkable in a departure. And it's the same with Startup New York. Well, let's take one at a time. With those businesses, and he attempted to, through Caleros, to do some similar things in Utica and Rochester and elsewhere. The approach isn't, hey, business, I'll give you a subsidy in exchange for job commitments. It was, hey, I will build a multi-million dollar, in some cases up to $750 million, facility for you. I will build and equip the factory for you. Here, take it. It's on me. Then you look at Startup New York, and it's, hey, come start a business here. I'll allow your company to exist tax-free for 10 years. Now, so it becomes a matter where the state is basically buying jobs. They're trading tax revenues for jobs. And it's a remarkable departure where is the only way we can attract business to New York State, big business, is to basically give away our tax revenue, our tax base.
Some of the economic development programs that the state funds, though, aren't giants, and they have positive outcomes, some of the smaller ones, don't they?
Well, it could be, but I think the central point in all this is that the state, I think, well, if it's by default or design, the state has no mechanism, and to this point, no interest in collecting data and assessing it to determine what programs work, which ones don't, which ones are salvageable, and which ones just need to be, killed off. And if you are going to commit, billions of dollars a year to corporate subsidies, you'd better make sure that the taxpayer is getting a good return on their investment. And the fact is that the state does not know because they don't even ask.
And your recommendation would be what?
I think this coalition of groups, Reinvent Albany and Citizens Budget Commission, et cetera, I think that the reform package they have put together bears very serious, a very serious look by the legislature and the governor, because, there's problems with economic development with return on investment. There's problems with corruption. There's problems across the board, and I think particularly in upstate New York, which, again, the market is going to drive job growth and economic vitality more than government. But government, to the extent it can help, needs to be smart about how it's spending the taxpayer dollar.
So real quickly, Jim, what can we look forward to tomorrow?
We're looking at the way the state vets or doesn't vet companies seeking subsidies.
Great.
And then we look at the lack of accountability and the need for reform on Thursday.
Investigative Post, ProPublica, and the Columbia Graduate School of Journalism are the reporting team behind this series. It's called State of Subsidies, which you can find at investigativepost.org. Jim Heaney, thank you again.
Thank you, Susan.
Support for the Capitol Press Room with Susan Arbetter comes from nyup.com. The website for and about upstate, the beauty, adventure, sports, characters, and conversation that make upstate New York unique. Created by Upstaters for Upstate. More at nyup.com.